The more you get to know about soil, the more you realise that the health of your soil is absolutely central to success with gardening. And that's where True Leaf Market comes in, because cover crops are a fantastic way to boost the well-being of your soil this autumn. On the Ledge show sponsors True Leaf Market have been selling seed since 1974. And they offer a great selection of cover crop seeds, including their all-purpose garden cover crop mix, which is their most popular cover crop seeds for home gardeners. Check out True Leaf Market's free beginner's guide to cover crops. Just go to trueleafmarket.com and search for cover crop guide. And while you're at it, order your cover crops online now at trueleafmarket.com. And with promo code OTL10, you can save $10 on your order of $50 or more. That's trueleafmarket.com and enter OTL10 for $10 off your first order. Check out the show notes at janeperrone.com for a link to that free cover crop guide and full terms and conditions. True Leaf Market, bringing the seed you need. Give me an L. L, give me an E. E, give me a C. C, give me an A. A, and what does it spell? Lekker. Or maybe Laker. Hello and welcome to On The Ledge podcast. And in this week's show, I'm joined by houseplant royalty. Yes, I'm chatting to the Lekker Queen, all about expanded clay pebbles. I'm trying something new this week. So if you want to see a video of Nora and I chatting about Lekker / Laker, you can go over to YouTube and you'll see the whole video there. Stick around here if you just want to hear this chat in your ears. The two conversations are entirely similar. The only difference is here on the podcast, I've edited out a few short moments where we've kind of clashed in terms of speaking at the same time and a little bit of chat right at the end. So just to make sure that each chat is appropriate for the different format. If you want to go and look at that, it's on YouTube now, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes. And if you're a Patreon subscriber at the legend or superfan level, you can head over to Patreon, where you'll find a video podcast of An Extra Leaf, where I talk to Nora about moss poles. If you have no idea what Patreon is, it's a crowdfunding platform where you pay a monthly fee for extra stuff. You can also join for free now or try a free 7-day trial if you want to check it out. All the details in the show notes. But let's assume you've stuck around here rather than heading over to YouTube. Welcome. I'm really excited about this episode because Nora throws down loads of super useful information about using Lekker as a medium for houseplants, from washing it to nutrients to flushing. All of that stuff is covered in this episode. It's so useful. I learned absolutely loads. And do go and check out the show notes at janeperrone.com, where you'll find a full transcript for our chat, which you can read along to, do point out any mistakes you spot, and also useful information about Lekker. So do go and look at the show notes. I know I always say that, but they are really useful, so they are always worth a look. And thank you to Marmy, who has become a legend, joining my Patreon clan. I have the wheels in motion now for my festive mail out for December. So please start making sure that your postal address is correct. If you are a patron, I'll send out details for how to do that. Right, let's get on with my delightful chat with Nora, the Lekker Queen.
My name is Nora, as you know. And I am also called the Lekker Queen online, on YouTube, on wherever you find me. So I grow my plants in Lekker Klebels. That's my thing. That's my claim to fame.
I love that name. I mean, this is the other thing here, just to say straight up. I say Leica. I guess I'm channeling like a Star Wars vibe. I'm thinking of Princess Leia and then adding a C in it. I don't know why, but there we go. I guess it doesn't really matter, does it?
Doesn't. Tomato, tomato. Doesn't matter. Klebels.
Let's just clear up, first of all, because there might be some people listening who are not familiar with this substrate. What exactly is Leica / Leica?
It's basically Klebels. So I've got this philodendron brick in here, and it's growing in these balls. And these balls are called Leica, and it's an acronym. It's short for lightweight expanded clay aggregate. So all it is just they get a bunch of clay, put it in a big hot oven, turn it all around, and it pops like popcorn, and it comes out with lots of holes inside, and that's Leica.
Yeah, I love the popcorn analogy. It is a bit like that. And it's extremely lightweight. I think that's the thing that's fascinating. You think of clay being extremely heavy, but when you pick up a handful of Leica, it's really super light, which is very handy for many reasons. If you're dragging one of these home from the shops, or getting it through the post, that it's very lightweight, which is great. And obviously, this is your bag, literally your bag of Leica. You grow this, all your beautiful plants in this, and I'm very impressed by the results you're getting. I guess we need to talk, though, about there must be some sort of drawbacks, or are there any drawbacks? Or what do you see as the pros and cons of this particular substrate?
Oh, look, as with anything, there's always drawbacks for anything. And I think it entirely depends on what you're defining as drawbacks, entirely depends on your expectations, I think. You know, one man's, you know, drawback is another man's pro. But the primary good thing, one of the big pros about Leica is that it prevents overwatering and underwatering. So when you're growing your plant in Leica, you've got the plant sitting in a reservoir and it's always got that nutrient solution. So you're not just using water, you're using fertilizer and water in there because the Leica itself doesn't have any nutrients in it, unlike soil. So the plant actually pulls up what it needs at any time. So you're never having an issue of overwatering, which then leads you to not having the problem of fungus gnats, you know, our buzzy friends that everyone who's got indoor plants knows about. So that's a lovely side effect of using Leica, that you just don't have any fungus gnats. But more importantly as well, going back to the fact that you've got water and nutrition available, that plant is constantly feeding. It's constantly got food, because one of the number one things that a lot of plant parents forget to do is fertilize their plants. So you'll have someone coming up and saying, "Ah, my plant's not growing. I've got a problem with my plant. The root, the leaves are turning yellow." And you ask the question, "When did you last fertilize it?" And like, "Well, I've actually never done it since I bought it, you know, 4 years ago." So, you know, a plant that's growing in Leica is constantly eating, and it's just, they grow so well because they've got access to food and nutrition all the time. A drawback, though, is that because Leica doesn't have nutrients in it, you have to supply that nutrition. So you have to be using a nutrient that's formulated specially for plants growing in a semi-hydro or a hydroponic setup, and you have to sort of learn how to mix it. It can be as difficult or as easy as you want it to be, but that has to happen. So it's just management of the reservoir, which, like I said, can be as easy or as difficult as you want it to be, as you make it out to be. But, you know, once you get to do something and you get used to doing something, it becomes pretty easy.
Well, I mean, I am a real soil-based grower, but I am intrigued by this idea. I use Leica a lot, but I don't use it as a sold substrate. So I use it, I mulch plants, and I get a lot of questions from people when I show plants on social media. They're like, "Oh, is that growing in Leica?" I'm like, "No." I use it a lot for a kind of a very basic wick watering system where you've just got a reservoir of Leica at the bottom of a cash pot and then a wick going through into the soil. And that's kind of my way of using it. The one thing that kind of puts me off, and I think this is kind of like, for me, it would be one of those things where I just need to get over myself and learn it, is getting the plants out of the soil and into the Leica, and that process of like getting all the soil off. I am not a meticulous person. I am a slapdash person. Like, I just can't So the care and attention to detail that would be required scares me a little bit. But tell me about your process. If you buy a plant from the store and you want to get it into LECO, how does that work? And does it ever go completely pear-shaped?
Well, everything always goes pear-shaped sometimes. But when I get my plant from the store, so whenever I buy a new plant, first things first is if I don't have time to put it straight into LECO, it goes and lives in my garage. It does not come in the house because I will not have that fungus gnat infested soil coming into the house. That's the first thing. Yeah. So when I've got the time, I get my plant and I pretty much take it out of the soil and I give it a wash. So I'm like you. I'm not as meticulous as people think, and I'm quite rough as well. So I just get my plant out of the pot and I like to use my hose. That's the easiest way I find to get the soil off. So I put it on like the sort of blast setting and I just blast away at the roots. And that's it. That's all there is. But I do have to say that I think there is a bit of a misconception about how clean the roots need to be and how pristine they need to be. They don't need to be as, you know, pearly white as most people think. You know, the idea is to get most, as much of the organic matter off as you can. You're not getting off every single speck. And if you can get it as clean as you can, that's fine. You just put it in the LECO and go through the process of transition. And once you've got the plant in that LECO, you are washing off the LECO, the process called flushing. And with that flushing, all that stuff that was left on is going to come off anyway. So it's not really a deal breaker getting them so pristine.
And I'm thinking about plants in my collection that could work for this setup. And I'm thinking Hoyas, begonias are all going to be good in this. Is there anything that you'd say, oh, actually, don't put that in LECO. That's better off in soil. Or is it really, does it work for anything?
Ah, look, you're asking the wrong person that question. Largely because my thing is just any and every plant I'm putting in LECO. And the reason I say that is because I don't see it as LECO is what's stopping the plant from growing well in the medium. It's an issue of what I'm doing with the reservoir. And that's where the problem comes. So when you've got a plant like a cactus, for example, I mean, obviously we all know you can't put that and put it in a pot of water like we do with LECO plants. It's probably not going to be too happy. It's probably going to explode at some point. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good bet.
But, you know, then you start to think, well, what can I do to actually get this plant to live in this medium? So either you're putting a very, very shallow reservoir and it's literally only got like a millimeter of water, or you're using what people like to call the shower method. So you actually don't have a reservoir in there at all. So you're treating that plant like a plant in soil and you just, you know, take it to the sink and, you know, put the nutrient solution through, it drains out, and that's it. There's nothing left. The only moisture that's in there is what's in the LECO. And in that way, people have succeeded. So I don't have a plant that I think this can't work in LECO. My ethos is, well, what can I do to make this work in LECO?
Absolutely, absolutely. So you're talking about this reservoir. Just paint a picture for us of how the pot looks. What's the scenario in terms of, because not everyone will have actually seen a plant set up in this way.
That's right. So I'll bring back my Birkin again. So this is my plant that's living in a nursery pot. And in that nursery pot sits the LECO and sits the plant. And that nursery pot does have holes in it. It's just like a normal pot you use for your soil plant. But what's different in LECO is you're putting this nursery pot in what we're calling a cash pot. And the cash pot is basically a pot that doesn't have a hole in it. So it's able to hold your nutrient. So this one over here is the cash pot. And when I pick that up, you can see that liquid in there. And that is my nutrient solution in there. So, and your cash pot can be anything. It doesn't matter. It can be fancy. It can be, my cash pots are, these are just plain pot liners and I just cover them up and that's it. It can be anything.
One thing I want to know though is, do the pots come with those holes in them or are you making those holes yourself?
I kind of make additional holes. So if you're getting a normal nursery pot, like the one you put a soil plant in, it will have the holes at the bottom, right? But I like to make the holes in the sides as well, just to give that additional ventilation through the roots and through the leka. I know a lot of people who don't, and I personally actually have some plants that don't have that additional ventilation, but I like to do it because it makes sense to me that, you know, the more air, the better off the plant is. So yeah, it's personal preference, I guess.
The thing I'm thinking of is when I made my kids' woodlouse enclosure. And I made, I just used a hot piece of metal I heated up on the stove to make that hole. Is that the kind of thing you can do?
You can do that, but a better way is to just get a soldering iron.
Okay, yeah.
And soldering irons are, they're relatively inexpensive, and you've just got it there. It'll give you the heat exactly where you want it to be. You're not standing there wasting electricity or whatever, trying to get a hot thingy hot, and it's just, yeah, nightmare.
Love it. Okay, so that's a really useful thing to have an image of. Tell me about the nutrient solution we're talking about here. Can we be using any houseplant fertilizer we've got hanging around, or do we need to buy something specific?
We do need to buy something specific. So when you're growing your plants in leka, leka is just a medium. The whole thing of growing plants in that way is semi-hydroponics because it is living in a water solution, hence the hydroponics thing. What's different about growing a plant in leka versus growing a plant in soil is that when a plant is in soil, the soil itself has a biome. There's all sorts of stuff in there. You've got all those rich microbes and all those things in there such that they're breaking down all the things that are in the soil. They're breaking down your fertilizer into a state that your plant can actually absorb. Now, when you're growing your plant in leka, none of that is there. Leka is just completely, it's almost sterile before you actually use it. There's nothing there. There's no microbes. There's nothing. So when you get the fertilizer, for example, organic fertilizer, you know, sea, kelp or whatever, stuff that people love to use for soil plants, right? You get that because it's great for the plant. You put that in with a plant that's growing in leka. There's nothing to actually break down that nutrient into the ionic state that the plant can absorb it. So it's just going to sit there and it's not going to absorb it. And the problem with doing that, and I hear this a lot. A lot of people ask me, I put my plant in leka and it died. And the first thing I ask them is, what fertilizer did you use? I just used the one I had in the house. Well, that right there was the problem because you thought you fed your plant because you gave it that nutrient solution, but the plant wasn't able to take it up because it's almost like it was locked. The gate was locked. The plant couldn't access the food. It could see the food beyond the gate. It couldn't access it. And that was the end of that. So your plant will struggle. So using a nutrient or a fertilizer that's been formulated for a plant growing in a water environment or a hydroponic environment is definitely the way to go.
This is not the BBC. We can promote products. Do you have a particular brand that you use for your nutrients, or is it just whatever you can get your hands on?
Look, I personally am particularly partial to a product called Foliage Focus, and it's made by Growth Technology here in Australia. It's an Australian company based in Perth, which is great. So we're supporting Australian business. And the reason I love this particular nutrient is it's a single bottle. So one of the things that a lot of people will have heard of, and I was in that exact same boat when I started, was, oh my gosh, if you're using leka nutrients, you need to mix stuff. And the mixing of stuff is just very intimidating for a lot of people. But you can find a nutrient solution that is just a single bottle. So in Australia, most of us have Foliage Focus. That's easily available. Places like the United States have got brands like Super Thrive, DynaGrow, Foliage Pro. They are available. If you can get a single bottle, fantastic. That makes things easier. But there are lots of others that maybe it's a 2-bottle or a 3-bottle thing, and the key is to just follow the instructions on the bottle and mix it that way.
Yeah, I'm like, simplicity, please just give me the single bottle because I'm going to lose one of those bottles. I'm going to mislay it. Forget, the label's going to rub off. I just don't need that in my life. So yeah, 1 bottle sounds good.
And that is exactly right. And in fact, when I started dabbling into growing my plants in leka, I already had Foliage Focus because I was using it for my plants in soil. And then when I found out that I could use that for my plants in leka, I was like, oh my gosh, fantastic. Because that was the only thing that was stopping me. The finding mixing 6 bottles was just like, ugh.
This This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is your brain going into overdrive the minute your head hits the pillow? Lack of sleep can really impact on your day, your mood, your physical and mental health. So it's time to do something about it. But what can you do? Therapy can be great at helping you work through the kinds of issues that are causing your brain to keep you awake at night. But finding time to organise therapy can be really tricky. But if you have been putting it off, I'd suggest you give BetterHelp a try. BetterHelp make therapy simple because it's entirely online, so it's very convenient. You can book the sessions at times to suit you. Just fill out a short questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you with a licensed therapist, and you can change your therapist at any time for no additional fee. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/OTL today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/OTL. One other thing that I'm sort of slightly scared about is, and maybe you've got a tip for me also for dealing with kind of used lecker. So say you want to upgrade a plant, or in my case, I've got stuff that's been in reservoirs, and like, I'm talking about lecker that's been exposed to situations where there's been root mealybugs, which regular listeners will know I've been struggling with. I'm presuming that lecker is also a solution to that problem, by the way, which is
possibly
given me much trauma. Anyway, so I've got this lecker that's kind of compromised in a quite a substantial way, and I'm terrified of using it again because I know that there's lots of nooks and crannies where little root mealybugs could be dwelling. I don't want to be boiling this stuff on the stove. I'm never going to go down that route.
Why don't you want to boil it on the stove? Like, seriously though?
I mean, my children already think I'm mad if they come in and go, "What's for tea?" And I'm like, "That's a pot of Lego cooking on the stove." They're just going to think I've lost it entirely. But is there anything else I can use that will kind of kill everything, sterilize it, get it back to a good state?
I mean, you could use bleach, you could use hydrogen peroxide, but honestly, boiling lecker is just the easiest way. Because can you imagine, you've got this big tub of lecker, right? And you've got your big tub of bleach. I don't know about you, but personally, I'm scared of bleach. Very rarely like to go in it because every time I touch bleach, I know my clothes are going to get ruined. I don't know how, but I always
get a random bleach mark.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, what? How? When? Nothing. Yeah. So I don't deal with bleach because it's just scary. But the thing as well with bleach, if you do use bleach, you have to make sure that you really rinse that lecker off very, very well, because of course, then you'll have that bleach in with your plant when you use it. But yeah, now I would encourage you to try boiling. Yeah.
Okay. All right. My children are going to be, I can imagine the comments now. And how long do I have to boil it for? Is it just a couple of minutes? How long will it take for everything to kind of die off?
I want to tell you boil it for 10 minutes and you're right, but I don't know. I've never actually conducted a scientific experiment to be able to tell you, and I've never seen a paper on that. So this is completely anecdotal. I boil my lecker until I remember I'm boiling lecker. And then I was like, oh.
I'm feeling so much sisterhood here to you. Obviously you have children as well. Like, I don't think people, like, this is the scenario, isn't it? It's like, oh yeah, I put that pan on the stove half an hour ago.
Well, I'll tell you one other thing just to make it worse. Sometimes I'm sitting, because I'll put my lecker on, because I've got my two big lecker pots, right? So I've got special pots for my lecker. So that's another thing, people. I am not boiling my lecker in the pots I use for food. Yeah, so I put it on and I make sure I put a lot of water in there because I know I'm going to forget, right? So it'll be there for like 30 minutes. I'm just sitting doing my work. I'm sat at my kitchen's really close by, so I can hear it. And I'll be sitting there thinking, what's that popping?
Glad it's not just me. It's great comfort for me to know that I'm not alone in this struggle. Okay, that's good. You get the fresh bag of lecker from the shop. Do you need to do anything to that before you're putting it in with your plants?
Most definitely. Most definitely. You must never put your plant in lecker that's just come straight out of the bag without adequately preparing it first. So obviously, when you take it straight out of the bag, it's really, really dirty, very dirty. And depending on the brand of lekker that you've got, can you imagine? I mean, lekker's basically dirt, right? And they just get it from the rotary kiln and they bag it. They've got all that dirt in there and then it's been rubbing against each other. All that clay is just everywhere. So the first step is just wash it off. Wash it off until that water runs clear. And ideally, if you can do this outside, better, because we don't quite know whether that dust actually affects your plumbing or not, and we don't want to find out. We suspect it might. Don't know.
Yeah, very wise. Yeah, I always do it. I've got a colander of like a plastic, I don't know, an old salad spinner or something that I've washed mine. I have to say I'm a bit like, as we were saying before, I'm a bit slapdash. I need to get better at doing this. You know, when I'm using it as a mulch, I don't bother to wash it, but I need to get better at doing that, clearly.
You're using it in a different way, I think. So I don't think you need to be, you know, as anal about cleaning it as you do if you're using it in growing plants specifically for semi-hydro, because there are implications to not cleaning your lekker adequately. So after you've given it a wash, ideally you want to let it soak in fresh, clean water for at least 24 hours. Like, that's just like the basic. Like, if that's all you want to do, just get your lekker, wash it, let it soak for 24 hours, and that's fine. And what that does is all the minerals and all that gunk that's inside the lekker actually is pushed out. And you actually notice that water that you soaked it in actually gets dirtier. And for those who are a bit more technically minded, if you're looking at the total dissolved solid, so if you get your water, right, if you get fresh water, and in Melbourne, our water is excellent. So our total dissolved solids is 30 parts per million.
That's great.
I know, right? So I've got my water and I've got my lekker that I've just washed, that's straight out of the bag, right? So I've got my 30 parts per million. When I soak my lekker in there for 24 hours, that goes up to 300 or something parts per million. And what that's telling you, where's all that stuff coming from? It's coming from inside that lekker. So you can have a process where you're soaking your lekker 3-4 times. And if you've got some really precious plants that you have, you can soak it 4-5 times, even soak it in the nutrient solution to get it as clean as you can. But what that also does is you end up not having to flush as much, because once you've got your lekker growing, then your plant growing, sometimes you have this white substance on top of the lekker. And that's, a lot of people call that mineral deposits or salts. It's really called the efflorescence. So you've got the efflorescence sitting at the top. But if you've washed and soaked your lekker thoroughly at the start, you won't get as much of that at the top. So you end up doing that less. So there's a lot to be said for soaking your lekker adequately.
I'm very tempted by this. I mean, I think what I'm going to do personally is start off with something that doesn't involve me having to wash any roots. So I was watching your African violet video and thinking about taking some African violet babies and putting them in hydro as a rooting thing. And then I think that might be where I begin. I love the idea of growing African violets in lekker, because actually in soil, they're not the easy. I think they're, you know, actually, they might do a lot better in lekker, actually. I think they're one of those plants that people grow really badly.
Oh, yeah, 100%. They do so much better in lekker, because I've always loved African violets from when I was a little girl. I've always grown African violets. And compared to the success I'm having with my violets now, it's absolutely insane. I actually, a few months ago, I had my African violets were stalking. You know, they had that long gooseneck. So I've actually chop them up and put them straight into the lekker. And I was looking at them today and thriving.
Wow, that's really great to hear. I wonder if I transferred completely to lekker, whether I'd miss soil. I'm sure I wouldn't miss the mess of soil. That I can tell you. It's like I had these shoots last week and I was just like, I hoovered and then I moved some parts around and I needed to hoover again because I had just soil everywhere. It's just a constant battle, plus the fungus gnats. So I am leaning towards this method, and I need to dip my toe into it. And I've resisted for quite a long time. I do love the kind of soil microorganism kind of food web sort of thing. But on the other hand, I don't love mealybugs, root mealybugs specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, you know, I can see why this would work really, really well. So I'm extremely intrigued. Are there any other questions that people often have for you when they comment on your videos that they're just like, this is my crisis, how can you help me?
Usually the first, well, crisis, not really so much of, it's really what plants grow in Lekka, is, or what plants can I start with to get me on that path so I can become a lot more confident with it? Because, I mean, like you say, you just need to dip your toe into something. Until you actually do it, you'll actually never know how to do it until you actually do it. So I always tell them, definitely Hoyas are fantastic. Begonias, love it, especially the cane begonias. I've got a begonia white ice that is just, it's going insane. Spider plants, surprisingly, they absolutely thrive in Lekka. I've got spider plants that I just got. So I'm just giving away spider plants because I've got spider plants everywhere. So yeah. And then I think as well, I mean, the nutrient solution, we talked about that before, just getting a handle on how to manage a reservoir and also how to clean the Lekka. There's lots of conflicting information out there about whether it's actually necessary to clean the Lekka at all. A lot of people just be like, I don't even soak my Lekka, you know, or maybe I'll soak it for an hour and that's fine, and not really understanding why the soaking is important.
Going back to your reservoir example, how far up the pot, the inner pot, should that reservoir be? Does it depend on the plant or the time of, do you let that run down and then top it up, or?
It very much depends on the plant. So it depends on the plant and it depends on the kind of setup that you're doing. So there's various ways you can actually have your plants sitting. You can have, like what I do is called the submerged method. So my nursery pot is sitting right at the bottom of the cash pot and is in direct contact with the nutrient solution. But you could also have your plant with a wick setup. So you've got the plant sat at the top and only the wick is accessing the reservoir. So your Lekka is not in direct contact. And those two things, the way you've set up your reservoir, kind of depends how you manage it and how much nutrient or water your plant has access to. So in the submerged setup that I use, when I just put my plant into Lekka, you don't want that reservoir to touch the roots at all. So I like to sort of tell people, look, you're potting your plant up, you know, about a third of the way of the nursery pot. So you want to make sure your reservoir is below that third. But of course, once your plant starts to grow and it starts to love that Lekka, those roots will start to grow into the reservoir. And invariably, that's okay because those roots are actually used to being in that environment. Whereas if you got your roots like on day one that have just been used to living in soil and you just whack them in that, they're going to rot for sure. So yeah, that's a consideration. But talking about whether I let it run dry or not, ideally, no. In practice, yes. Because sometimes I just can't get to everyone. But that's where I think using the submerged method helps, because if my reservoir runs dry, that Lekka is still a little bit wet on the inside because it's actually been sitting in that nutrient solution. So, and when I say I've let it run dry, you know, maybe you're talking about a day or two or something. You're not talking about a week, or that would be a bit much, because then your plant will actually, those roots will actually start to rot as well. So you can have a wet rot and a dry rot. So it's just that management of the reservoir.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And what about repotting? Is it the same as a soil plant in that you're looking for signs of kind of like root congestion on the outside of the root ball, and then you're going to upgrade it to a bigger pot with more Lekka in it?
Yes. No, it is definitely as well. If, of course, there's roots everywhere, especially with Monsteras, you just tend to have roots everywhere. And I did a video on my Calathea orbifolia, and this Calathea, my Calathea orbifolia is legendary, if I do say so myself. She's gorgeous. She's massive. And I realized that she wasn't growing as well as she was before and started to get yellowing of the edges of the leaves. And I thought, there's something up here. I picked it up and I saw that it was root bound. And at that point, I repotted and the plant was fine. So it is similar in the way that you can sort of tell that there's something going on with the roots and then you repot. But the other thing I love about growing in Lekka is that when you're repotting a plant that's grown in Lekka, you're not being as fuss about pot size as you would be when you're growing a plant in soil. So when you're growing a plant in soil, the take home is you only, you know, go a pot size up. You don't go up too big because then you risk root rot depending on how you water. But with a plant in Lekka, you know, you can just like, you know what, I'm going to give you your forever pot because I can't keep doing this every 3 months. And it's fine because of the reservoir and because of the way the Lekka works, there's no problem or risk of overwatering. So that doesn't even, it's not an issue.
That right there might have just sold it for me, that I'd have to do less repotting. That sounds epic. Now, we've got to talk about aroids because you've got a lovely backdrop of aroids behind you. And I think you're well known for having, you know, beautiful plants that are obviously thriving in Lekka. You must have to have some really long moss poles, I'm guessing, to make these beautiful thriving plants stand up.
Yeah, I'm also kind of the crazy moss pole lady. I got some pretty long ones. This one back there that my finger is, that's my Epipremnum golden ivy. That's really, she actually started off in soil. And I got her to that state when she was in soil and got all the way to the top of the moss pole, 2 meter high, and I chopped it and I put the top part in Lekka because I was like, yeah, now I'm not doing soil anymore. So I put the top part in Lekka and that's it there. If I could show you, she's gotten all the way past the moss pole and is now crawling across the ceiling. And every time I look at it, I'm thinking, I really need to do something about that. So it's quite problematic. So yeah, I mean, if growing on moss poles, they're great. They grow really well in Lekka. They grow really well on the moss poles. It's just, I mean, it's end up being the same really as though you're growing a plant on a moss pole in soil.
Aroids still are just so popular that lots of people are going to be drawn into your account seeing those beautiful aroids. I'm just thinking about my Thai constellation, thinking it's such a pain to repot that plant. If I could like reduce the amount of time I have to repot that and put it into Lekka, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of almost scared to take it out. It's in a big terracotta pot right now.
Yeah.
And I'm almost scared to take it out of there because I nearly gave myself a hernia the last time I had to get the roots out of that pot, of the previous pot, because it was so stuck in there and like the roots were so congested. I'm just like, oh. I mean, the only other thing I would say that I'm kind of slightly scared about is, now, I think you probably, living in Australia, I suspect you may have a little bit more space than I do. I'm slightly worried that my plant, I mean, this is the weirdest thing to say ever, but I'm slightly worried that my plants will grow too well, like especially Hoya.
I knew you'd say that.
I'm one of those Hoya people who like get Hoya cuttings and it's like a two leaf cutting. You're like, oh, isn't this nice? And then, I mean, even in soil, I've got a Hoya that I call the beast, which is a Hoya... is it Velosa? I can't remember anyway. And I call it the beast because it's just...
Yeah, the one with the long yeah, furry leaves.
Like, how, if this is what it's like in soil, am I setting myself up for like really a big jungle if they go into this beautiful Lekka and thrive?
Yeah, you are. It's essentially what it is. And that's the beauty. Well, I mean, for you, not really. But that's the beauty of growing a plant in Lekka. I always call it allowing your plant to reach its true potential.
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, of course, if you've got all the other factors at play, you know, light and all that stuff, if you've got that right, I mean, it's got nothing to do but grow.
Yeah, absolutely. One other thing, I steer away from ferns because I am a fern... I've not had, you know, I know how to look after a fern, but I just don't have the darn time for that kind of watering regime, yeah. Right? But if I put a fern into hydro, is that going to, into Lekka, is that going to, if I put a fern into Lekka, is that going to solve my problem here in that I don't need to worry about it on a daily basis and it's going to have that.
What fern are we talking?
Like, I'm thinking of everyone's nemesis, the maidenhair fern. Is that doable?
It is, yeah. You want me to show you a maiden hair fern?
Yeah, come on. Let's do this. Watching me now. I mean, this is just really bad for my. Oh, yeah, look at that. Nice.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
Yeah. She's got a few issues. I've had her out, so she hasn't been as humid. So there are a few crispy things. But I transitioned her from soil to leka a few months ago. And I think that went really well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There you go. Well, I mean, I don't need any more plant families to collect, quite frankly, but, you know. Now, is there anything else about leka that we haven't mentioned about? Maybe you could just tell us about this flushing process. How often do we have to do that? And, you know, presumably that's pretty vital in terms of avoid, because you're working with the nutrient solution, avoiding too much nutrient buildup. Or
remember what I said about making it as difficult or as easy as you want it to be? That is my philosophy. My philosophy of growing plants is not necessarily following a manual or following a regime. It's about making plant care work for you and work for your plants. So people tell people to flush every fortnight, every 2 weeks. I know people who've never flushed their plants. I flush my plants when I have the time to flush my plants. Maybe I'll be like, oh, okay, you've got a lot of stuff, white stuff. Maybe I should flush you. But I have so many plants. I don't have the capacity to go and flush everyone every 2 weeks. I probably have over 300 plants. So is it good to flush your plants regularly? Yes, it's very highly recommended. Can you get away with not flushing your plants regularly? Definitely. Would your plants grow better if you flushed your plants more? Maybe. So, you know, that's the answer I always give people. Like, honestly, yes, you should flush. Yes, we know why you should flush. But, you know, it's not the end of the world.
And that presumably that's just taking it out of the cash pot and letting lots of water run through so that anything that's in there gets the chance to be released. And
Exactly. You clean out your cash pot, you know, just get it nice and clean, put some fresh solution, and your plants just feels like, oh my gosh, I've just had a spa day. It's feeling amazing.
Brilliant. Well, let's get on to our quick fire round. I'm going to ask you 5 questions which you have not been prepared for. I want honest answers, gut reactions to these.
Okay. All right then, let's go.
Okay, so your first one is, what is your plantagonist, the one plant that really either you absolutely hate and you just, there's no rationale to it, but you hate it, or you just can't get along with?
Maiden hair fern. But also alocasias. Love hate relationship there.
Oh yeah, got you. Okay, next question. You have the opportunity to have a plant species named after you, or maybe a cultivar. I don't know what it's going to be. What is going to be the Nora plant or the Laker Queen plant that you're going to have named after
it's you? It's got to be a Hoya.
Yes. Yes, a good answer. Yeah. And would it be like a delicate?
Oh, it's got to be like a splashy Hoya.
Beautiful.
I love a splashy Hoya.
Okay, and you're off to your desert island. You're going to your desert island and you can take only 3 plants with you, either plants that you have or plants that you'd like to have. What are those plants going to be?
I'll take a Hoya, I'll take a Golden Ivy Epipremnum, and I'll take a Monstera Deliciosa, the OG plant.
Sounds like you've thought
I have it, but those are the ones I would take. Yeah, I think they're like the plants. They're like the most basic, the most gorgeous, the most, I mean, if you, and they're so easy as well, you know.
Excellent. And let's talk plant goals. You've got more than 300 plants, but there must be something that's still on your wish list that you do not yet have. What is that plant?
Look, funny enough, I actually don't have a wish list anymore. I used to. But I think I have evolved so much with my plants and what I do with my plants. I'm now at a point where I get a plant because it's got a job to do. So I'll say, right, I want to make a video about how I transition a big plant. I want to make a video about a philodendron Birkin. I spent forever looking for this Birkin because I needed a big one. I wanted to show people how you can move a big one. So having said that, that's how I look for my plants have jobs.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. I sometimes, when I give talks, I have my stunt
cards. Yeah, exactly.
I take a lot with me that are going to get a little bit beaten up on the way, but they're going to be okay. Okay, and the last one, looking forward to that magical day when you can retire and your plants can just take center stage. I want you to set the scene of your retirement. How is your plant setup going to change? What's going to be in there? I mean, what's the object here? You know, are we talking a 1,000-foot glass house? Are we talking, I don't know, how's it going
to work? I have the perfect answer. And I'll start off with, there's a like a meme type thing that's gone around the internet. It's been there for ages. How you've got someone who's built a new house and you've got the house and you've got the green. Do you know that one? Yeah. So I would have a massive greenhouse. So I would only have statement plants in the house, only statement plants. So you live there because you're pretty type thing, you know, bird of paradise, big monstera, statement plants. Everyone else is going in the greenhouse. And this greenhouse is going to have the sunshade. It's going to have all the lights. It's going to have heating. It's going to have cooling. It's going to have the mister in there. It's also going to have a sink because I do semi-hydro. I need a sink. I use water all the time. It's going to have shelving. And more importantly, it's going to have a sitting area. I'm going to have my lovely blue chair or whatever chair, and I'll be able to sit in there like it's a sunroom.
That's a beautiful scenario. Although if you're anything like me, are you ever going to sit, or maybe when you're retired, but right now, like,
I will be retired.
So videos, I bet you don't sit in that chair very much.
No, I never sit in the chair.
It's like you sit down for 2 seconds, either a child's calling you or you're like, you suddenly see a plant that needs, oh, I need to do that. Hang on. Up you get.
What suddenly? Oh, the plants always, and that's the thing though. I do want to do a thing where I wish, these are the things I wish I knew before I started getting into plants, how they just completely take over your life. And there's just, they're like children. There's just always stuff needing to do. And you're repotting, picking up dead leaves, you know, sorting. It's just stuff. There's always absolutely stuff to do. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I'd much rather do houseplant housework than normal housework though.
I'm with you there. I agree. It's so much more fun.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you, Nora. I've had so much fun and I've learned loads about Lekka, and I'm now sort of like, yeah, I think I might be on a journey here with this, and I'm definitely going to
give it a go,
pilots, and see how I get on. And I'm looking at your plants. I can only think that the results are going to be amazing. So thank you so much for joining.
They will be. They definitely will be. And thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much to Nora, the Lekka Queen, for her wonderful presence on the show this week. And you can find out more about Nora and her social media channels in the show notes at janeperrone.com. And if you're a Patreon subscriber at the Legend or Superfan level, head on over to Patreon, the app or the platform, where you'll find an extra leaf number 119, where I talk all things moss poles with Nora. That's all for this week's show. Thank you so much for listening. And advance warning, there will be a bonus episode for Halloween next week. A spooky, murderous episode of the show. So tune into that next Friday. Cannot wait. Have a fantastic week with your plants. Bye. The music you heard in this episode was Roll Jordan Roll by the Joy Drops, The Road We Used to Travel When We Were Kids by Komiku, and Whistle by Benjamin Banger. The ad music was Part 8 by Jazar. All tracks are licensed under Creative Commons. Visit the show notes for details.